they used to be in my practice when I was.
Okay.
When you say a handful, Paul, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about really two relationships, maybe three, that add up to maybe $3 or $4 million.
Why didn't they come with you?
So the one, which kind of surprised me because she's a lawyer in a local town here in Hackensack. She just said that she felt that Edward Jones was a better company than Ameriprise. And she said that she was very happy with Edward Jones. And, she had about $1 million with me at the time. And she just said that there was a lot going on with her husband. Her husband was sick, and she was taking care of him, and she didn't want to do it. And so go through the aggravation. And then the second one is the son, the second two. So there's three altogether. We have a doctor client who came, but his two children stayed. And when I met the son, he was just very nasty to me and just was like, you know, well, what's in it for me? And I said, well, we could stay working together. And like, he was just like, yeah, whatever. That's not, you know, what's in it for me. And so I just kind of felt like, you know, that's kind of a nasty thing to say to somebody in a way. So, you know, very sarcastic. So I just kind of left him alone.
Okay. Well, let's just stop there for a second. It's easy for me. I'm not in the heat of the battle. You are. So,
yeah.
But let's say what is in it for him? That's not a very polite question, depending on how it's asked, and you were there, so you know it was asked in a chippy sort of way. It's not the nicest of questions, but it's a fair question.
Well, here's how I took it. He had me take him out to lunch at a very expensive restaurant, stuck me with the bill, and came back and said, well, what's in it for me? Why are you here? Why did you make me, why did you choose this restaurant? Why are we here? You know, if it's all about, you know, if you don't know the answer to that. So
that's what he said.
No, that's what I kind of thought in my head, and you know, every time I've dealt with him, he's not a very nice person, in my opinion.
Well, he may not be, and as we've said before, I don't know if I've said it to you, you know, we're not the electric company. We don't have to run wire to everybody. We get to choose.
That's right. That's right, and I respect, and I think about that, and I think we're heading in a very good direction.
Yeah.
Why do we need to bring up, I mean, Suzanne and I, and you, Rob, I don't want to dismiss what you brought to the table. You got us organized, you know, you've got us really moving in a great direction right now. Why do we need to go back to a contaminated well, in my opinion, to move forward? We don't. You know, we can move forward. We just need to focus on what we're doing. I mean, people are bringing in money. We have about over $500,000 that's moving in this month. I mean, that's our best month since I've been at Ameriprise. It's not my best month ever. I've had a lot more. But, you know, we're firing on all cylinders. I've never, at Ameriprise, I've yet to have insurance. Until now, I had yet to have insurance, financial plans going, assets coming in the door, and annuities and also life insurance and long-term care all at the same time. We have all that going right now. We're firing on all cylinders. You know, I think that, you know, why go back to a contaminated well and try to sort that out and go through that heartbreak? And, you know, I just, you know, it just puts me in a real bad mood to have to deal with that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do know. But one other thing, you know, you talk about firing on all cylinders and all the things you all got going on. One thing that you're overlooking, you know it, but you overlooked it in this conversation, is the energy in your voice. You just have an energy about you that you didn't have consistently when we first started talking together. Now, what
I feel, my confidence is coming back. I do. My confidence is back. I can do this. Yeah, my confidence is back.
And I'm going to get to that in a second. But let's go. I want to go back to this guy who was nasty to you. Was he nasty to you, to Jones?
Yeah, he was just always a nasty, negative guy that, you know, it seemed like I could say nothing, you know, he always knew better. He was the guy that always knows better. He can always do it himself. I don't need you.
Yeah.
The only reason I'm here is because my dad's here, you know. Yep. He's that kind of guy.
Yeah. How old is he? How old, roughly?
Oh, he's a good age. He's probably 55.
Okay. All right. Let's go back, and I've got a lot to cover here today, and I want to get through all of it, but I don't want to rush through it. Here's the answer. When he says, what's in it for him, the answer is, monthly schedule contact. You know where I'm going here, right?
Yeah, I know exactly. I was thinking that.
Yeah, that's your competitive advantage. If any, your competitive advantage is not that you're the greatest mutual fund picker or annuity picker or whatever. You aren't that person, and if you are,
it's the service model.
Yeah, it's your service model. That's what differentiates you. Let me jump to just a little bit of what you're going right down the path I wanted to go down. Last month you told me you had spoken with the vice president in the Northeast for Ameriprise. You said that he said everyone else is down, you're up. Did I get that right?
No. I don't think I said that. I think what he said was, did I say that?
Well, you were adding insurance and there was business increase, not new clients, but business increase. Everybody's down with new clients, but you were adding
more
insurance.
Business.
Yeah.
Right.
More different business.
Yeah. So we're not, everybody's down. He said everybody's down with adding new clients. And I'm saying, but we're up from last year, from year over year, from last year to this year, we're up because we're doing more business with our existing clients. And so I don't think that he did say he could see that we're doing better and that the branch has increased in business. And, you know, he asked me what's working for us. And so, yeah, I mean,
so without parsing words, he was complimentary of what you all were doing, correct?
Yes, but he was, when I explained to him Supernova, he didn't seem overly, you know, impressed because I don't think he understood it. I don't think Ameriprise understands Supernova. They think more is more, you know, so.
Yeah, well, here's he sees all the numbers.
Yeah.
If he was complimenting your practice, so let's accept that and move on. Here's a question that's impossible to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. If you sat down with the top 20 clients of every FA in the Northeast District of Ameriprise, how many of those would want to do business with you instead of their present advisor? Now, you can't answer that question. But if you could sit down and remember early on when we talked about the number one driver of client satisfaction is proactive FA contact. The number one reason that FAs lose clients is lack of contact. So isn't it rational, isn't it fair to think if you got in front of the 20 best clients of every FA in the Northeast area for Ameriprise, that you would bring some of those people to you, that because you offer something different. I mean, it's you would get some of those. You probably get more than you thought because not everybody is doing what you're doing. So let's so this works. Supernova, the number one driver of client satisfaction is a service that you provide. It works. So let's go back to this knucklehead who is, I don't want to say knucklehead, but this guy who's not very happy. He's probably not very happy with anybody, it sounds like. You just run into people like that. So let's go back. The reason, what you're doing is working. So you go back and to this guy who's not very pleasant and say something. Here's what I would go back to him just because I think you've got the upper hand here. And the upper hand is the confidence that what you're doing is making a difference in people's lives. I mean, take that in. You're making a difference in people's retirement. You're making, in some cases, differences in the generation beyond your client. So you're offering him something that he's probably not going to get anywhere else. So here's what I would do. I would say, what's his first name?
Bill.
Bill, I thought a lot about our lunch. And you asked me during our time together what would be in it for him to come back follow you to Ameriprise. I don't think I answered that very clearly. Let me tell you what you're going to get. Let me tell you what my move to Enterprise or Ameriprise has allowed me to set in motion. And say, all my clients get monthly scheduled contact. Any problems that you have, we're going to continue to offer a 24-hour resolution standard. Multi-generational and fully implemented planning. That's what my clients are getting. And very frankly, almost everybody has followed me because they like what I have did and they like what I'm doing at Ameriprise. And you're in charge. I mean, if he wants to be ugly, he gets to be ugly. That's just some people are made that way. But I wouldn't let him slink off into the sunset and not hear what you're doing. So, you know, we spent a little time here, but I think it's important, not necessarily just because of this fella or even his mom or dad, whichever you said. It's the recognition of the confidence that you carry because you're doing a good job for people. You're not making this stuff up. You with me?
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt what we're doing. I just know some people, like you said, are just negative, and you know, I'd rather just avoid them at this point.
Yeah.
If I don't have to, why deal with them? You know, but I understand what you're saying.
The answer is you don't have to. One of the things that we used to talk about, I don't know if you and I covered it, but you know, if the phone rings and Suzanne picks it up and she says Bill's on the line and your face wrinkles, that might be an indication that this isn't a good relationship for you.
I had a client that called, an old client that called a couple weeks ago, and he called my cell phone. And he didn't come over, and I thought he was calling me to see how I was doing. He accidentally called me. He meant to call the new financial advisor at Jones, but he accidentally called me. And
yeah.
When I told him it was me, he just hung up on me. So, you know how it gets. It's ugly. You know, the whole transition, when you move a company and you're in this business, it's dirty, it's ugly, it's nasty, you know. It's litigious. It's really a fight to the death, and it just doesn't. You know, when clients get wind of it, it could be very nasty. So,
well, you can't. Some people don't play fair. And in the short term, it's hard to win against that person, because if they're going to insinuate, if they're going to cut fees and whatever, it's hard to beat that short term. But long term, usually good prevails. So did you say it's a bill you're dealing with his mother?
No, his father is a client of mine, been a client of mine for a very long time, but he's an older gentleman, probably in the last stages of his life. It's about a $2 million relationship. And so I'm sure at this point, the one big incentive is that, before his father passes, which will probably happen, I'm guessing, in the next 5 years, it would be good to patch things up. That way I can keep the assets that are here. But, I don't know. I don't know that that's, I'd have to really work on Bill and work on his sister, Amy. They have a sister, Amy, and Amy has a husband named Joe, and Joe is a lot like Bill. They're both kind of curmudgeons and very hard. They've always were difficult people to work with and very uncomfortable. Joe at Edward Jones, he came into the office one time. He's a real big guy, very overweight. And when he sat down on the chair broke. And I think he always hated. I honestly think that, like, when I went over to help him to get him up, like, he was mad. I mean, really mad. And he was like, and I just think from that day,
I thought you were kidding.
Yeah.
We were we had an excellent relationship, but that day, as Joe got bigger, and Joe kind of like went into this like depression, I think.
Yeah.
And as he got older and bigger, he became a lot like Bill, and the two of them together, I think that they both hated me for some reason. I don't know. Like I used to think like they worked together. They both work in the same business together. And I think that the both of us got together one day and said, forget that Paul. He's something wrong. I don't know what they did, but, but Amy was always very nice to me, but I just kind of lost, I don't know what happened, but it was just always like these two guys were like, maybe I'm paranoid. I don't know, but.
It's hard to plan for a guy breaking a chair, isn't it? Here's what you asked me what I would do. I would treat these people as prospects.
Treat them as prospects, Send them a letter or what? You think send them letters, send them advertisement or what?
I'd call them once a quarter and just say, I was going through some old paperwork. Your name came up. Just wanted to check and see how you're doing. And just shut up and listen. It's easier to keep an account than get an account. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
And here's three.
Bird in the hand or two in the bush.
It is. This is $3 million floating around. If they're not happy with you, they're not happy at Jones. I can almost guarantee it. What I would do, and I want to get on with the rest of what I got prepared for today, but what I would do is I'd call them quarterly, treat them like a prospect. And, maybe they've sat down in a chair at Jones and it broke. So now everything's equal. Who knows? So, that's what I would do. What I prefer to do is to stick with what our conversation began with today and how well things are going. Now, let me tell you.
Yeah, let's talk about that. That sounds good.
Yeah. And what we've kind of done here over the last 22 minutes is we've kind of lived, we spent all our time, but we've talked about it's important, but we want to spend our time with the folks that can help us grow. And we've spent way too much time on this guy, although it was important. Let me tell you a story that confirms that clients want what you're delivering.
Okay.
I not going to deliver, but what you're delivering. I got a call the other day, a fellow that I, a team I worked with near Charlotte, and he called me, and here's when we worked together, and we started working together at the end of 2019. He and his team were doing about $3.5 million.
Wow.
He called me and he said, now we're doing a little over $5 million. And he said, I just want to thank the man who made it happen. Now, I feel that. It wasn't me. I'm the deliverer. Not everybody takes advantage of it. But it wasn't me. It was the process. This team isn't working with small accounts. I think their minimum is like $2.5 million for new business. So my point in making this is they're doing the same thing that you're doing. Not exactly, but as far as service. It's not like we got something that works for smaller accounts. We got something that works for people who are thirsty for good service. So when this guy picks up the phone and calls me and says, I just want to thank the man who made it happen, I accept that. I take it all in. I don't deflect it. But my point is, he's not doing anything differently than you're doing. So this gets back to the confidence thing, Paul. You can get in any arena, because what you are offering is better than most people offer. I've coached some Jones people, and I've coached some really good Jones people, but it's kind of hit and miss there. Some people are really good, and some people aren't. You've got the and Jones goes after a little different market segment than what you want to go after. Love their training, love their ethics, but it's a little bit different. So my point here is you can go sit down in any arena and not be afraid that you can't deliver a different experience to them. Are you with me on this?
Yeah, I am. Big time. Yep.
Okay. So if you get in front of a $5 million relationship, a $750,000 relationship, what do you lead with? This is what I do. This isn't what I'm going to do. My experience has been when people say this is what I'm going to do, they very seldom get it done. Come and tell me what you've done or are doing, and then I kind of believe you. Because everybody gets promised everything. Nobody says, yeah, I'd love to have you in my practice. My service is really lousy, but I'd sure like to have you as part of my practice. And again, I know I told you this. Remember that a prospective client filters everything you're talking about versus what they're receiving. Make sense?
Sure.
They're just not hearing this in a vacuum. So when you say I monthly schedule contact, I return calls, any problems you have, we have a 24-hour resolution policy. When you go through your service model, they're comparing it with what they're getting, and they're not getting something like that. So where does this take us? Clients and prospects like what you're doing. Our goal is to get you in front of more people. I mean, what you've told me up to this week is, your clients are bringing in more money, but you're not getting the new referrals to new clients. Did I have that right?
That's correct.
Okay, so if you can get in front of, if you knew you were going to get in front of a new of a prospective client every once a month, once a week, that's 52. Opportunities, you know you're going to close a lot of those. You told me, I don't have it in front of me, but you close a large percentage of the people you get in front of. So We're trying to get you in front of more people. How do you get that done? Well, let's talk about a couple of acquisition strategies. Now, again, this is today was to be focused on your practice overview. And if you've got time, I want to continue. You got a few more minutes?
Yeah, I have until 11.
Okay. How do you get that done? Let's talk about the acquisition strategies. Let's just talk about VPSA. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but you know the VPSA. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same level of service? The answer is, I can't think of anybody right now. So what you want to do is to be able to say, this is what I do. If you're talking with a client, you go through VPSA, they can't come up with anybody, and you say, well, I would like to, let me give you an example. I'd like for you to be able to, I want to give you an overview of my practice in case anybody, I would like for you to have that for two reasons. Number one, if you run across anybody who you think would appreciate what I do. And the other is, if I ever disappoint you versus what I'm telling you I'm going to deliver, I want you to let me know. So you can't, if somebody has something that I want them to understand your practice. How do they understand your practice? You've got clients who love what you do, but they might have a harder time describing it. But if somebody, you know, they're playing golf and they're complaining about what UBS is not giving them, and your client says, well, I deal with Paul Farrell. He does a great job. Paul offers monthly scheduled contact. Gosh, they return calls very quickly, and the planning is terrific. Do you see how that makes them a better advocate for what you do than just saying, you know, you really need to sit down, you really need to talk with Paul. So I want your clients to be able to describe specifically what you do. What I would like to do is just go through this practice overview. Now remember, you got to get this approved. Go ahead.
Sorry, Rob. Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Am I sending this to all my existing clients in like an email or like a letter, and then I'm calling them and telling and going and reviewing it with them, or what is?
No.
I mean,
no. As opportunity, you go through VPSA, and it's
go through VPSA. Pause. Okay.
I can't think of anybody. Well, if you do come in touch with somebody, I'd like for you to be able, could I send you an overview of my practice just so you could specifically talk about what I do? No, you don't mail this out. This is that you just work this in. You look for opportunities to work this in. You're sitting down with a prospect, and you're talking about what you do, and say, just let me, I think it's important, Ms. Jones, that you understand what I do, what makes my practice unique. And you hand it to her. A link here, L-I-N-K, is from go through one of the acquisition strategies, enthusiastic doors, niche expansion, whatever, and then it kind of stops. I would like for you to be able to hand them something that describes specifically what you do. You with me?
Okay. Yeah.
It's the next step. Now, again, you got to make sure that this is approved. I know you'll do that, but I've said it a couple times. I'll probably say it again. Let's start to put this thing together. What I'm going to do is I've sent you several times what that practice overview looks like. The format is your name at the top, a little description of you, a description of Suzanne, just what you do, who you are. That's at the top. I've sent it out to you a couple of times. Do you still have that?
Yeah, I have it in front of me right now, Rob.
Okay. All right. So it talks about this is who you are. Now, I'm going to go through here, and I'm going to, you know, the three topics are basic beliefs, or the three headings, clients can expect, and what we expect of clients. You see that on that piece of paper you have in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you some bullet points here. And what I want you to do, I mean, if these fit you, feel free to use them. But if you're not doing them, obviously you're not promised something you can't deliver. So what I'm going to do is just to get you thinking about it, is I'm going to give you bullet points, and you tell me where you think they go in those three areas. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. Regular scheduled contact. Where does that go?
Clients can expect.
Absolutely right. Notification of changes to financial status.
What we expect from clients.
Absolutely. Confidentiality.
Clients can expect.
Basic beliefs.
It can be basic beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I would put it. Quarterly evaluations, quarterly portfolio reviews.
Clients can expect.
Yep. Trust is the foundation of a relationship.
Basic beliefs.
Yep. Rapid response to problems and inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard.
That's clients can expect.
Notification of any material changes to financial condition, goals, or risk tolerance.
What we expect of our clients.
All clients are treated with respect.
Basic beliefs.
Yep. Any on here that we haven't honor scheduled appointments.
What we expect.
Yep. I'm looking here. I've got a whole stack of them. Introduction to your other professional relationships in order to participate in an integrated approach.
What we expect.
Right. Frank and open dialogue.
Basic beliefs.
Yeah, I think it could go there. I think it's a better fit under clients can expect. But I can see
where it could be either one.
Notification if you're deviating from your financial plan.
What we expect from our clients.
Let's hit a few more. You will receive our best thinking, but we will never lose sight of the fact that you get to make the final decision on any investment decisions.
Basic beliefs, right?
Well, no, there's that one I put under this one's under what clients can expect. Rapid response to problems and inquiries with a 24-hour resolution standard.
That's clients can expect.
Right. Disclose all relevant financial information. With that information, we are better able to help you reach your personal and financial goals.
What we expect from our clients.
Yeah, yeah. Allow us to schedule regular contact.
Is that what we expect, or is that what clients can expect? It's one or the other.
What clients can expect.
Yeah.
Let's see, just...
But you said allow us, so that means that the clients would have to.
That's where we have the problem.
Well, we have a small, we have a handful of clients that
don't allow that.
But just because people say no or they're hard to schedule doesn't mean they don't understand that you offer that. If you're offering it to them, then they have a friend who's unhappy with the service they're getting from UBS. They can still say that you offer regularly scheduled contact, even though they might not be doing it themselves. You understand?
Yeah.
Everybody, even if they say no, you've offered it to them. It's what you do for every client. A couple more. The client's interest always comes first.
Basic beliefs.
Yep. We've talked about confidentiality. You get the. I'm not going to go through the whole stack, but do you see how people can look at that and go back to what I said a minute ago? The clients filter everything that you do for them versus what they're getting now. I mean, you put this in front of them. This is who I am. This is what I do. These are my basic beliefs. This is what you can expect of us. This is what we expect of you if you become part of my practice. And some people think that comes across that last one as a little overbearing. And I can see how people might interpret it that way. I'm talking about FAs. But to me, it's strength. This is what I do. This is who I am. This is what you can expect from me. This is what I would expect from you. That's just your best relationships. Basically, most of your best relationships do what you want them to do. Correct?
Not always, but yeah, I would say most of the time.
All right. So, if for you to say this is what I expect, I think just shows that, you know, this is what you do. It's a process that works. It's a process your clients like a lot. I think it shows confidence, not arrogance. Okay.
I get it now. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I think, you know, I understand. I'm going to work on it and I'm going to get it done. And, yeah, I'm sorry we have to keep reviewing this because, of my, procrastination, but I would say that now that I know how to use it and I see what I want to do with it, and I can see how I could use it, I think that it'll manifest a lot faster.
And the people who don't have a lot of money are the ones who are the difficult ones, who don't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You're contacting them all the time. You're having these dialogues. You're moving the business forward. They're doing well financially. not to say that the other people aren't getting the benefit of your stewardship, but they're not growing because this is not on their high priority list.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true. Yeah. No doubt about it. The handful, right? Yeah. 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 Go ahead. I'm sorry, Rob.
Think of one other thing. You've gotten through the enthusiastically endorsed strategy. You've gotten referred into an accountant, and you sit down and you're having a conversation. You know, when somebody, take, for instance, an accountant, if they refer you, you know they're taking a risk, right?
Yeah.
Because if they refer to you and you blow the client up, they've lost the client also. So some people are reluctant to, people who could be great referral sources for you, sometimes are reluctant to refer, but you've sat down, you've talked, and you say, let me just give you an overview of my practice and what my clients can expect. And you,
if I take this, Rob, am I misusing this? If I stick this with something, I had these cards made up. They're called Key Financial Data. For 2021, it tells you the taxable income rate schedule, standard deductions of children and child tax credits, and what you can contribute to 401ks and all that stuff. It's a good cheat sheet for any accountant or any anybody that does taxes. It's a good cheat sheet. If I stick this with that, and I go around town to all the accountants that I don't know, or even the ones that I do know, and say, hey, I just wanted to give you, I wanted to introduce myself and give you an overview of my practice. What do you think about that?
I think it has to have a little stronger foundation than that, Paul.
So go to if it's a client, if we have a mutual client, that's what you mean. Like if we have a mutual client and I could say, hey, we have a mutual client, I just wanted to stop by and introduce myself. Something like that?
Yeah. Well, you're into the enthusiastically endorsed, and you could. This is not the answer. What you just said is yes. You go in to see your client refers you to their CPA. You go sit in front of the CPA. You have a nice conversation. And then you say, what I'd like to leave with you, just an overview of what I do. I know a lot of people have probably asked you, for referral. I want you to be able to see if you refer someone to me, what my practice looks like. And that frankly gets down to my basic beliefs, what your clients can expect and what I expect, from your clients if you refer them in. So I just think it's powerful. You put it on nice paper. You don't put it on typing paper or computer paper. You just get, what I'm talking about, a little heavier bond paper. Make it look
real. Yeah, I have that.
Okay.
I have heavier bond paper. I've been trying to figure out what to do with it, so this is what I'll do with it.
Well, It's just you want to make it. You've gotten invitations to things that are. Sometimes they look really nice, and sometimes they don't. They look a little cheap. And so you want your overview to be really, really just look nice. So this is the bridge between starting a referral conversation and going to the next step. You sit down with a client, you go over, you're going, and I know you do a lot of Zoom stuff, don't you? You told me clients aren't coming into your office.
Just one. Yeah, we're doing all phone and Teams conferences.
Yeah. Well, let's put it in the context of your face to face with a client, just to get the thought process out. You're sitting with a client. You've just gone through a quarterly review. They love it. They love you. And you look for an opportunity to use VPSA. Gosh, I really appreciate Ms. Jones, you saying those things. Suzanne and I work really hard to deliver that type of service. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate that same type of service? And then yes or no, whatever. So they say no, and you say, well, let me share one thing here before we close. I've put together an overview of what you can expect, and obviously anybody that you would refer to me could expect. It talks about I'm letting you have. I'm giving you this for two reasons. Number one, I never want to disappoint you. If ever I don't live up to what's on this paper, I'd appreciate a phone call. The other is if you have an opportunity to talk about my practice to other people, somebody you think might fit into my practice, I want you to be able to specifically describe it. So those are my words. I kind of, but you see what you're doing with this thing. It's the bridge between a conversation and getting in front of people. So, and frankly, if you put this together and you never use it, which you wouldn't do, it gets you get your own brand firmly implanted in your mind. So when a knucklehead like that one guy says, "What's in it for me?" you say, number one, you always confirm you heard. Well, what's in it for me? Well, Bill, I'm glad you asked me that. Here's what's in it for you. And you go through your service model. So that's we all together on this.
Yeah.
All right. So what I'd like to do, Paul, between now and next time, is put your service model together or your practice overview together, and before you do the final. Before you sign off on it or go to press with this thing, send it to me because I want to review it.
Okay. Am I allowed to steal a couple of your? Can I plagiarize a couple of your things here? Off your
if they fit yeah you can.
There's a couple I really like. I mean, I'm not gonna do the whole thing, but there's a couple. Like basic beliefs clients can expect.
Yeah,
you know, a couple of the bullet points I like.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But again, you got to get it approved, right?
Yep.
All right. We have found that compliance people really like Supernova because if you do in 12-4-2, you know, FAs get in trouble when they lose track of clients. They don't talk to them for a while. This is just part of that whole process.
Absolutely, it's a very good one for compliance.
Yeah. All right. Anything else?
No, I think I really appreciate you going back over this. This makes a lot more sense to me.
Well, I told you what Rob Knapp was the best boss I ever had, and he said. He said to us, those of us who work for him, until you tell an FA something five times, it's your fault if they don't understand. And he wasn't saying the FAs are dumb. He was just saying FAs got so much on their plate that you're doing them a favor when you go over something more than once. So kind of the same thing with clients sometimes. All right.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Always enjoy it. Talk to you next month.
Talk to you next month. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
You bet. Bye, Suzanne.
Bye.